السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. بسم الله الذي لا إله سواه الواحد الأحد الفرد الصمد الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. والحمد لله حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه، حمدا يليق بجلال وجهه وبعظيم سلطانه، والصلاة والسلام على نبيه الصادق الأمين المبين المبعوث رحمة للعالمين، وعلى آله الطاهرين الطيبين وأصحابه الصالحين الغر الميامين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. رب اكتبنا منهم، آمين. Today's topic is on the concept of الغلو. Often translated by some as extremism or excessiveness. Al-Ghulu has a long history, as old as the history of humanity. Shaytan was the first one who expressed ghulu. For he lied. Shaytan is the first one who expressed ghulu because he showed kibr, arrogance and vanity. Shaytan is the first one who showed ghulu because he disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shaytan is the first one who showed ghulu because he used excessive arguments to make his point. When he told our father Adam alayhi salam and our mother Hawa that all what Allah intends behind forbidding you to eat from this tree, in other words, he's telling them, if you ate from that tree, you will be angels. You will live forever. He used excessive arguments, arguments of ghulu, in order to make his point. Dhunub, commission of dhunub, and therefore disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is ghulu, because it is beyond the norm, because it is breaking the hudud, the limits, breaking the fence of the limits, and that is ghulu. Ghulu is violating the fitra that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us in. And the fitra that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us in is a state of i'tidal, is a state of balance in every aspect. Physically, Allah created us, subhanahu wa ta'ala, human being, as a species, very balanced in every aspect of our physical creation. He created us balanced, subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the aspects of our spiritual identity. And he set in us, subhanahu wa ta'ala, natural tendencies, of tawheed of his subhanahu wa ta'ala, of the recognition of his unicity and oneness subhanahu wa ta'ala, of a sense of balance and of fairness in us. It's a state of fitrah, and the state of fitrah is a state of i'tidal, and the violation of fitrah is a state of ghulu. Ghulu in the Arabic language comes from ghala. Ghala yaghlu. But there is also ghala yaghli. All to indicate what this concept of ghulu is about. Ghala yaghlu means also that something, the price of which becomes expensive, overbearing, too expensive. And ghala yaghli is when something, the water boils. It is boiling. It is not still. It is not calm. It is boiling. It's overflowing. And the ghulu, therefore, that we speak about in the context of human conduct and human feelings, is this state in which the human being is in a state of lack of balance, lack of stillness, lack of i'tidal, lack of moderation, lack of justice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, describing people who had received divine messages before us, and he says in the Quran, قُلْ يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ لَا تَغْلُوا فِي دِينِكُمْ غَيْرَ الْحَقِّ وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا أَهْوَاءَ قَوْمٍ قَدْ ضَلُّوا مِنْ قَبْلُ وَأَضَلُّوا كَثِيرًا وَضَلُّوا عَنْ سَوَاءِ السَّبِيلِ. قُلْ يَا أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ لَا تَغْلُوا فِي دِينِكُمْ غَيْرَ الْحَقِّ. Say, O people of the book, do not express غلو in your deen beyond that which is حق. And therefore, that which is beyond حق is غلو. That which is beyond the truth and beyond the حق from the حق عز وجل is غلو. الحق من الحق عز وجل. The حق, truth, and that which is correct and is from the حق عز وجل. And an attribute and a name of Allah عز وجل is الحق, the truth or the reality. So he says subhanahu wa ta'ala, يا أهل الكتاب قل يا أهل الكتاب لا تغلوا في دينكم غير الحق. And then he says ولا تتبعوا أهواء قوم قد ضلوا من قبل. And do not follow the أهواء, the plural of هوى, which we shall come to later again. Do not follow the أهواء, the plural of هوى, or inclination, of people who have gone astray before you. قَدَّلُّوا, who have gone astray before you. قَدَّلُّوا مِنْ قَبْلُ وَأَضَلُّوا كَثِيرًا, and caused others to go astray often. وَضَلُّوا عَنْ سَوَاءِ السَّبِيلِ, and went off, and went off the sabil, the path that is straight. In another ayah he says, يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ لَا تَغْلُوا فِي دِينِكُمْ وَلَا تَقُولُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْحَقِّ إِنَّمَا الْمَسِيحُ عِيسَى بْنُ مَرْيَمَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ وَكَلِمَتُهُ أَلْقَاهَا إِلَى مَرْيَمَ وَرُوحٌ مِّنَّهِ. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O Ahlul Kitab, O people of the book, I've got a gentle call a gentle, compassionate call, attributing al-kitab to them. Ya ahl al-kitab, all people of the book. لا تغلو في دينكم. Do not commit غلو in your deen and say say not other than the haqq about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Say not other than the haqq about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For verily al-Masih, the Messiah, son of Maryam, إِنَّمَا الْمَسِيحُ بْنُ مَرْيَمَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. He is a messenger from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَكَلِمَتُهُ أَلْقَاهَا إِلَى مَرْيَمَ. And a word from him that he set upon Maryam, that he gave into Maryam. وَرُوحٌ مِنَّهُ. And a ruh from him subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks to us. These are two most powerful ayat on ghulu. And this is the worst type of ghulu, namely al-ghulu fil i'tiqad. Hadha ghuluun fil i'tiqad, ghuluun fil aqeedah. It is an excess, it is an extreme state of one's beliefs, of one's persuasions, of one's inner attachments. Because aqidah in the Arabic language comes from aqada, which means to attach, to tie. And it is aqidah because it is that which we tie our qulub to. Our qulub are tied to it. That is our aqidah. عَقَدْنَا قُلُوبَنَا عَلَيْهَا. We have tied and attached our qulub to it. يَرْحَمُكِ اللَّهِ. And the worst of ghulu, and the worst of excess, is the ghulu of al-i'tiqad. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in those two ayat and other ayat about this type of ghulu. And in this ghulu of i'tiqad, of course, the worst of all is the ghulu of al-ishraku billahi azza wa jal. Al-shirku billahi azza wa jal. To attribute partners to the Creator subhanahu wa ta'ala, to al-haqq azza wa jal subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is ghulu. And that is extremism, the worst type of extremism that human beings have ever and have been expressing in their history. In line of the acts of shaitan. Al-ishraku billah, to say that there is God with God. That there are created things that are given the status of the Creator. أكبر الكبائر وأكبر الشرك. And the worst of all غلو. And the worst of all غلو. Because we have to emphasize this, perhaps many were expecting me as to speak on ghulu, to speak of other things, which I shall come to. But there is an order of priority. And that order of priority, we have to know. And we have to وَنَعْتَقِدُهُ أَيْضًا. And that will be an i'tiqad, this order of priority. Because there cannot be equality between ghulu in aqeedah and between ghulu in mu'amalat, in comportment, in terms of human conduct with one another. That is one extremism, but it is far in its consequences and its ugliness and in its oddness than the one of i'tiqad. And the shirk is the ghulu. And every type of shirk, less major and minor shirk, is a ghulu because it violates the state of normalcy. Because it violates the state of balance. Because it is also foolish and oftentimes dumb. To say that there is another creator, another God with God. Or to attribute to a human being divine qualities. Or to attribute to any created thing, human being or otherwise, divine qualities. And therefore, of course, al-kufru ghulu. Kufr, every shirk is kufr, but not every kufr is shirk, obviously. And kufr is ghulu, because again kufr violates the bounds and the limits of normalcy and of truth as created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Creator. Kufr is concealing and hiding the truth that exists. So it is an abnormal state. Kufr is hiding the truth, rejecting the truth. And the truth and recognition of the truth because it exists is a state of normalcy, is the bound. Rejecting something that is ignorant, is foolish, is unbalanced. And kufr is ghulu, the next ghulu after shirk, of course, if we include in shirk nifaq, for nifaq is worse than kufr. And nifaq, the nifaq because it's a matter of aqidah, the nifaq of aqidah is of course a worst ghulu. When one harbors rejection of the divine being and his message, and shows outside that he or she adheres to that divine message. That is nifaq. Because it is not normal. Because it's not the truth. Because it is not expressing what there is outwardly. Something is inside that is not what is outside, and I am concealing that which is inside and expressing it wrongfully outside. I am lying, in other words, wal-iyadu billah. And lying against God Himself, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is ghulu. And of course we live in a world in which when it comes to aqeedah, there are many, many issues of ghulu. To say that we live in a world where there are many millions of people who may judge themselves as very smart and very intelligent, who say God does not exist. That's worse than the ishraq of the pagans of Arabia. Because the pagans of Arabia believed that God existed, certainly, and that He created the universe, but rejected to be obedient to Him, to be His ibad, to recognize the world of the hereafter, to recognize accountability in another world, to recognize life after death. And there are those who say God does not exist. In other words, this universe and all of this orderliness and this pseudo-perfectness, because the perfectness is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, all of this has basically no meaning. You, as a human being, you are no meaning. You and a swarm of mosquitoes or a barnyard of pigs are the same, because you all came through the same process. The early cosmic dust coughed you out. And then you and the dust came from same origin by accident. That concept is so foolish, so unbalanced, so extreme, so unjust, so insulting to everything that exists. That's why it's the most major of all crimes, because it is insulting every atom, every quark, every particle, every galaxy, everything, every human being, that you have no meaning, no significance. You and a barnyard of pigs are the same. That's what shirk is. That's what God doesn't exist is. That's what evolutionism is. غلو in عقيده. That you and this orderly universe came simply by accident. Is this غلو or is it not? This is the غلو. غلو في العقيدة. And the types of غلو in عقيدة are not to be listed here, nor intended to be listed, but for us to emphasize, when we speak and the world speaks of غلو and extremism, well, we just don't have to simply repeat what everyone else repeats. But we have to be also fair and not practicing ghulu in the definition of ghulu, and not practicing ghulu in the application of ghulu. Ghulu is to be, when defined, is to be, therefore, the elements of ghulu are to be identified after they are defined. Within us also as Muslims, of course, ghulu in aqidah existed in the past and still exists. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ar-Rahmanu ala al-arshi istawa. And some Muslims came later and say, no, Ar-Rahman could not have istawa. Allah says, Ar-Rahmanu ala al-arshi istawa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ar-Rahmanu ala al-arshi istawa. The Rahman, the most loving and compassionate and merciful subhanahu wa ta'ala, عَلَى الْعَرْشِ اسْتَوَى, upon the throne اسْتَوَى. So there are some who said, how could he be in istiwa? Because in their understanding and their minds, istawa عَلَى الْعَرْشِ is like وَتَعَالَى اللَّهُ عَنِ الْأَنْفَالِ وَالْأَشْبَهِ, like I am مُسْتَوِي عَلَى هَذَا الْكُرْسِي, like I am istiwa, reclining, if you will, if you want to translate it verbally, on this chair. But he said, istawa. And somewhere else he said, subhanahu wa ta'ala, laysa kamithlihi shay'. There is nothing like him. His af'al are not in their essence like the af'al, the acts of his creatures. His sifat, his attributes, are not like the attributes of his creatures. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. He said it. There is nothing comparable unto him. وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٍ. And there is no one comparable to him or like him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. لِذَلِكَ الْإِمَامُ مَالِكَ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى. And that, look at the balance. That is ghulu. Allah says istawa, and someone, because, as we shall see, because of inclinations and jahl and so on, would say he could not have istawa, even if he meant well. Even if he meant well, meant to exalt Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from space and time. And Allah is exalted from space and time. And Imam Malik, rahimahullah ta'ala, says الاستواء معلوم والكيف مجهول والسؤال عنه بدعة اخرج من مسجدي هذا. الاستواء معلوم Istiwa in the Arabic language, in other words, is known to everyone. And look, out of his adab, rahimahullah ta'ala, he didn't say, like I told you, al-istiwa, I am sitting on my kursi. He said, al-istiwa ma'loom. Istiwa is known. So that he himself, rahimahullah ta'ala, does not maybe inject feelings that are anthropomorphic. Al-istiwa'u ma'loom. And then he said, well, kayfu majhool. But how is that istiwa? What is the essence of that istiwa? That he says, majhool, unknown. Because it is beyond, he's saying in those simple words what we would express nowadays, it is beyond these four dimensions. Because if it were four dimensional, we would know. Beyond that. غير معلوم, مجهول. See, that's it. Because Allah says, ليس كمثله شيء. يستوي كيف ما شاء سبحانه وتعالى. كيف ما شاءه وبدون كيفنا نحن. بلا كيف. As they said, without كيف, without how. And then he said, رحمه الله تعالى, showing the extent of that غلو of the question itself and the intent behind it perhaps, and he said, وَالسُّؤَالُ عَنْهُ بِدْعَةٌ, and inquiring about it is bid'ah, and I shall come to that later as I speak about more elements of ghulu, insha'Allah ta'ala. In our history we had many examples till nowadays of ghulu in aqeedah, the concept of al-hulul that some qillah, some group and small groups in the history of Islam in the name of perhaps an extreme spiritualism came to the conclusion that wal-iyadhu billah, similar to the concept of hulul, basically that the people of Ahlul Kitab, of the Christians, had believed in, namely that God Himself can come into the body of a human being. That in their misguided journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that they will reach the stage when يَحِلُّ أَوْ يَحُلُّ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى فِي ذَاتِ الْمَخْلُوقِ الْخَالِقُ يَحُلُّ فِي ذَاتِ الْمَخْلُوقِ وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ, that the Creator becomes one in the very being with the creature, with the human being. Like, وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ, those who said that the Creator came into the body of Isa alayhi salam and became one, and Isa is Allah and Allah is Isa, wal-iyadu billah. There were people who believed that. Who knows if they still exist nowadays and do not express it as obviously as some of them used to centuries ago. Wal-iyadu billah, that's ghulu. Because upon analysis of that, even logically, and upon analysis of that Quranically, implicitly, explicitly, openly, and esoterically, it is a violation of the hudud, of the norms of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People who speak, for example, of some type of fana, some type of fana, I underline, some type of fana, because those who say there is no fana at all, that's another ghulu. Because there is al-fana'u anwa' inda ulama'i ahli sunnati wal jama'a rahimahumullah ta'ala jami'an. There is that first one, al-fana'u an iradati siwa. Wahada fana'u al-anbiya'i wal-mursaleen. And this is a fana' that is the fana of the Anbiya and the Mursaloon that is recognized by all of the ulama of Ahl-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah. that when one is in fana in terms of his irada or her irada for other than Allah Azza wa Jalla, that highest state of the journey of the qalb to these is fana'u iradati siwa. To the extent that the person's irada dies, he or she has no irada of his own except that of Allah Azza wa Jal, i.e. his qalb and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills become the same. Iradatu al-fana'u an iradati as-siwa. هذا ذاك فناء المقربين والأنبياء والرسل. There is another فناء, فناء شهود السوى. That is also a فناء جائز وسائغ ومستحسن, لكنه ليس بدرجة الأول. الأول أفضل منه كما يقول المحققون رحمه الله تعالى. The first فناء is better than this one because the second one is about the فناء of consciousness, of seeing, of being conscious of the creation and the created things. In other words, the qalb of that individual is so overwhelmed by the divine presence that he or she in that state does not perceive and is not aware of the created world. But he recognizes and he knows the existence of the created world, and there is a difference in his aqidah and in his qalb between the created world and the creator. They are two distinct things. They can never be one of essence and of that. And then the third one, this is the ghulu. I'm sorry, what was that?
Fana.
Just leave it for now, just as that, fana. Because I was explaining it, inshallah, and I'll tell you about it later if you want. And the third type of fana is fana'u wujudi siwa. Wujudi siwa. The second one was al-fana'u an shuhudi siwa. This is one fana'u al-wujud. And this is the ghulu. That the person alleges and claims a state in which actually there is no created thing except the creator. Everything is the creator, becomes in essence. And that is what is called as wahdat al-wujud in this sense. That is ghulu, because it does not distinguish between the creator and the created. It literally, they do not distinguish anymore between the creator and the created. And Allah Azza wa Jal in numerous ayat of the Qur'an repeats to us the distinction between the creator and the created always. وَلَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ خَالِقُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى لَا تُدْرِكُهُ الْأَبْصَارِ وَهُوَ يُدْرِكُ الْأَبْصَارَ وَهُوَ اللَّطِيفُ الْخَبِيرُ وَهُوَ and so on. وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ and many ayat about that. And that is ghulu. Another form of ghulu, people who don't believe, for example, in al-qadha wal-qadr. In some aspects of al-qadha wal-qadr. Because of, again, limited spatial and temporal realizations in their minds that we spoke about, I think, if you remember, was it last year in this retreat, the winter retreat, when we spoke about Al-Qadha wa Al-Qadr. And there are those who say and argue that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, intending well, obviously, intending well, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we say qada wa qaddar, it means that He cannot, underline that He cannot make someone a kafir. He cannot, underline the word cannot, not may not, or he may not, and he can, he may not, underline actually. He may not, and he cannot in the sense he's not able, he doesn't have the power to make someone a kafir and someone a mu'min. That the acts of human beings, that the acts of human beings are not created by God, that they are created by the human being himself. Of course, as you realize, this ideology is beloved to many contemporary thinkers. And we don't have time to go through the details of it and the specifics and what is erroneous about it and what is part of the aqidah of such people, which is also correct. Definitely, those who have said that, much of their aqidah was correct. But they had also things that were very, very extreme, like this one. Or those who say, no, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forces someone to be a kafir. Forces someone to be a mu'min. Forces someone to cheat and to lie, as well as to be good. That the human being, relative to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, arhamukallah, is no more than a feather in the winds. Has no will whatsoever and no choice whatsoever in his or her actions. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yes, may punish someone though he forced him to do wrong. I don't think I need, I suppose to all of you and anyone who is listening, to ascertain to you with evidence how excessive this is and how unbalanced this is, and that ghulu existed, and perhaps it exists as well. The people who say, speak of al-irja' al-amal, which means that, and they used to say, as long as in your heart, remember we spoke about heart and nafsul, but they say, as long as in your heart you have iman, it doesn't matter what you do. Because iman is the state of your qalb. It doesn't matter what you do. It is very attractive to some contemporary thinkers and contemporary shahawat and anfus this time. It existed centuries ago, this ghulu. إِرْجَاءُ الْعَمَلِ عَنِ الْإِيمَانِ أي لا تضر معصية مع إيمان. In their definition of إيمان, no معصية shall be harmful to you as long as inside you're fine. That's another aspect of غلو in عقيدة. Or another غلو in عقيدة in judgment of others, that the person who commits a major sin is a kafir. يُكَفَّرُ بِارْتِكَابِهِ الْكَبِيرَةِ. That if you're a Muslim, say لا إله إلا الله محمد الرسول الله, and you commit a ma'asiyah that is major, they say you're a kafir by that ma'asiyah. And that's another ghulu, because the texts of the Quran and the sunnah of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, most authentic, are very explicit and very clear about that. And all of that happened subsequent, after the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and in the beginning of the time of the tabi'een and the middle time of the tabi'een and so on. A person who commits a major sin becomes a kafir, wal'iyadu billah. It is a major sin. But the i'tidal of Ummat Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, i'tidal Ahli Sunnati wal Jama'ah, i'tidal Ahli al-Haq, is that no, that's a major sin, severely punishable, if Allah wills, if the person doesn't repent. But that does not enter the person in the realm of unbelief, in the realm of kufr, wal-ayyadu billah. And that also, that person will be eternal in the fire of hell, have they argued. وَهَذَا غُلُونَ فِي الْعَقِيدَةِ لأن الله عز وجل يقول إن الله لا يغفر أن يشرك به ويغفر ما دون ذلك لمن يشاء سبحانه وتعالى. That Allah عز وجل does not forgive the act of shirk, but forgives subhanahu wa ta'ala anything less than that as he pleases. And that's of course a statement of raja. Those who said, for example, there is no such a thing as the world of the barzakh, alam al-barzakh, the world in the grave, in the qabr, and the torment of the qabr, and the delight of the qabr. There is no such a thing. The Quran talks about that, and the authentic Sunnah by Tawatur talks about that, and there is no such a thing. Why? You will see later why, and you will see how even 13 centuries ago, really, when it comes to human experience and human mistakes and the cycle of history, it's like today. Not much different. Simply some of them said, well, and some of the proof is that we go to graves and we open the graves and we dig out the graves and we don't see any person in torment or in bliss or in delight. To them, that was an empirical argument of the day. And they argued this way. They argued on the basis of empirical arguments. That's an empirical argument. We know better, some of you, I hope, nowadays. We talked about something like that. Was it the first retreat here? First winter retreat, when we spoke in some more details about the world of the barzakh and azab al-qabr and the delight of the qabr, and contemporary knowledge and contemporary sign. And when we introduced the concept of hyperspace, you remember, in addition to the statements of the earliest scholars of Islam, rahimahumullah ta'ala. These are examples, my dear brothers and sisters, of ghulu in aqidah, and there are many more. And this is the worst type of ghulu. Worst type of ghulu. Then I want to speak after that, after aqidah, what comes after that as most important in the area of human activity and human life? After aqidah come? Naam? Ibadah, okay. Ada akhlaq in general. Akhlaq. Innama bu'ithtu li'utammima makarim al-akhlaq. After aqidah, this is another way to look at your life, my brothers and sisters. Where am I in aqidah? Then where am I in akhlaq? As a consequence of that aqidah. Because akhlaq now becomes the byproduct of aqidah. And akhlaq, we've said many times, the plural of khuluq, and the definition, the good definition of it, alhamdulillah, that is all encompassing, is a state of your inner self. That is khuluq, is your inner image. And that inner image is either beautiful, or almost beautiful, or somehow beautiful, or very ugly, or somehow ugly, or least ugly, or most ugly, or ugliest, if you will. That's our inner image is our khuluq, as our khalq is our external image, our khuluq is our inner image. And every time you look in the mirror, you remember this concept of inner image, for when you look into the mirror, you look at your, usually, at your external image. And as I do that, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructed us and taught us sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to remember looking into the other mirror of my qalb, to see the state of my inner self. So he says sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when you look into the mirror, read that dua in your qalb and in your tongue. Allahumma anta hassanta khalqi, fahassin khuluqi. وَحَرِّمْ وَجْهِ عَلَى النَّارِ and so on. Oh Allah, you have made my khalq, my external image, beautiful. Alhamdulillah, أَحْسَنْتَ صُوَرِي, تَصْوِيرِي. Allahumma anta hassanta khalqi, fahassin khuluqi. Therefore, beautify my khuluq, my inner image, my inner being. Make me beautiful inside. Imbue me with the qualities, that is, and the virtues of inner beauty, of Iman, of Tawheed, of Ikhlas, of Hub, of Allah Azza wa Jalla, of Khawf, of Raja, of Rida, of Sabr, of Tawakkul. These are the inner image. And the Akhlaq becomes, they are the product of Aqeedah. The first byproduct of Aqeedah, the most essential one, is our Akhlaq. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, summarizing his mission, one way he summarized his mission is إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. Verily, I have been sent for no other purpose but to complete the most beautiful akhlaq. Now, the aqeedah of there is no God, the aqeedah of the ghulu in aqeedah of there is no God, ghulu in aqeedah of there is no akhirah, there is no hereafter, the ghulu in aqeedah of there is no hisab, there is no accountability in another dimension, ultimately, think about it, obviously leads to a certain set of akhlaqi values that are, as far as we're concerned, valueless, that are very ugly, such as, certainly, do what you please. Do what you please. Because ultimately, there is no accountability, there is no akhirah, there is no creator. Do what you please. What you please, you do it as an individual, and what you please, you do it as a collective body that agree to certain norms of standards or of values. And that's a necessary consequence. A necessary consequence of ghulu in aqeedah is ghulu in akhlaq. And the consequences, the specific consequences of that are numerous and more to be listed here. And of course, part of that is, you know, حُرِّيَّةُ النَّفْسَ أَلَيْسَ كَذَلِكَ, the freedom of self. Because that self is no more attached to a creator, there is no more the distinction between نفس and قلب and روح and عقل. There is only نفس. And nafs is to be satisfied. And philosophies are exactly like that. Nafs is to be satisfied. And there are psychologies, many of them, of those psychologies, many of which are in consensus about this satisfaction of the nafs. And we build psychologies about that, and we build treatment principles and ways and means of certain psychological concerns or certain ailments, and the essence of which is to give the nafs what it wants. Whereas the philosophy of al-akhirah, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of balance, is that it is not freedom of self, but freedom from self. But freedom from self. And with freedom of self, طبعا, freedom of self, because the self becomes the center of your concern and of your satisfaction and of your seeking satisfaction. And naturally, it will lead to the other extreme feelings and emotions and akhlaq and images, such as ujb, because it has to do with that philosophy of letting the self be what it wants to be. And the self wants always to be praised, celebrated, acknowledged, exalted. And that we call an ailment. Ujb is an ailment. And that will lead to kibr, the feeling of kibr, the feeling of vanity and arrogance, because the nafs wants that. And of course, then there are regulations in society. As long as this nafs and that nafs and that nafs agree generally to a certain set of nafs values, you may express your nafs within these many nafs values. Do you understand? That's why it is, kibr is allowed. Kibr is not something that is despised. Unless one has a belief in God and a belief in the hereafter and a belief in divine values somehow. So kibr becomes something normal. And it is surely kibr is something of ghulu. Vanity becomes normal. Why not riya, of course? To be boastful, to seek reputation, to laugh, to perform in front of others and to draw their attention. Because it is all about feeding the nafs, about fame, about sum'ah, about leadership, about ri'asa. Not about humility and moderation and balance. It is a consequence of hurriyatun nafs, of freedom of the self, which is a consequence of the ghulu in aqeedah, that there will be ujb and there will be kibr and there will be riya' and there will be love for sum'ah and reputation and performance and so on and so forth. So al-hirsu wal-hasad are two immediate consequences of certainly this type of ghulu in akhlaq, which is the consequence of ghulu in aqeedah. Al-hirs, that is the insistence, which I call the violent, aggressive insistence to have the elements of dunya. Hirsu ala dunya. And that's, we call it, what language do we use it? Do we use here in our contemporary culture? Competitive spirit. Like we call intoxicant. Come, let's have a glass of intoxicant. Who would say that? Let's have a glass of wine. But we don't call, let's get intoxicated. So we give ugly meanings, nice words. And Rasulullah ﷺ spoke about that to come. So, al-hirs, ala dunya, ala al-madda, is called oftentimes aggressive, well, or is a competitive spirit. Competitive spirit, which is hirs. And it is the hirs, as the ulama say, that drove Adam and Hawa away from Jannah. Hirs, their insistence on elements of other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I underline, on elements other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hirs. It is kibr that is the first crime in the history of humanity. Arrogance and vanity. The first crime committed against humanity is kibr by shaytan. When Allah tells him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, prostrate yourself to Adam. No. I am created of fire, and Adam is created of clay. The first crime is kibr. The second crime is hirs. The third crime is hasad. hasad, that violent envy, that aggressive, violent envy in what others have, wishing that they didn't have it. That's why it is a violent envy. I call it a violent envy. And that led, what? The child of Adam to kill his own brother. Hasadan. And that was a hasad of even, I would say, I wouldn't call it of a more noble nature, but relatively so, of a more noble nature. Because how come did God accept from you and he didn't accept from me? It was not about competing for his wealth or his property, hasad for property or wealth, but that God accepted from you and didn't accept from me, as Allah teaches us in Surah Al-Ma'idah. Hasad. And that's a consequence of letting free the reins of the nafs, of the philosophy of freedom, of self taken to its ghulu stage. Versus freedom from the self taken to its proper, balanced and moderate limits as well. And consequently, al-fahisha. Consequently, we live in a world where, again, this, in the name of this freedom of nafs, freedom of self, consequently, freedom of expression, which is a state of ghulu, because it is a freedom of nafs, and it is taken, it has been taken to ghulu. And in the name of that, wal-iyadu billah, one has no limit in the way he or she seeks entertainment and seeks lowly pleasures, the pleasures of the nafs al-bahimiyyah. And then everything becomes halal wal-iyad billah in gender relations. And I don't need to teach you about that and the consequences of that and how quantifiably also, not only in principle and in value and in theoretical arguments, but how quantifiably this concept of shuyu' al-fahisha, this concept of spread of this indecency and this promiscuity and this ghulu has led quantifiably to harms and pain and devastations economically and health-wise and spirit-wise and psychologically and in so many aspects, that if any other nation did that to a nation, if they had nuclear weapons, they would use nuclear weapons against it. The consequences of shuyu' al-fahisha in the loss of life, in the loss of economic balance and prosperity, in the loss of money, because the billions of dollars that have to be spent to rectify the consequences of al-fahisha, the consequences of promiscuity. And al-fahisha also in the Arabic language means another synonymous, almost synonymous word to ghulu, because al-fuhsh meaning when something goes beyond bounds. Something goes beyond bounds. And look, subhanAllah, inherent in our language, in this Quranic language, when something is ghulu, you can see it in the language itself. Fahisha is ghulu. Promiscuity is ghulu, and the word fahisha stands for it, as meaning excess, beyond norm. And of course, and ghulu, that which leads to ghulu is itself ghulu, that which is a means of ghulu, is ghulu, isn't it? The means of a crime is a crime. So there are means by which that ghulu is made accessible and easier. Means of entertainment, literature, types of literature, types of images, types of films and movies, styles of life, the way people, man and women, dress, styles of life with that, and so on. All of that is ghulu that leads to ghulu. And subhanAllah, Allah Azza wa Jal says, because there are human beings that have always been human beings like that, but nowadays it is at proportions unparalleled in past history. There have always been human beings from earliest time who committed fahisha, who committed ghulu of akhlaq. But at this level, subhanAllah, because there are always people who have, يعني, who are worshippers of their own shahawat. They are worshippers in the Islamic sense of ibadah, as you know. They are worshippers of their own shahawat, of the weaknesses of their own bahimi nafs. And once one is in that state, naturally human beings tend to convince others by what they have. Because without that, they still feel there is the fitrah, it's still playing inside. They feel uncomfortable. So if there is one more and two more and three more and become a group, they feel better. Oh, what if it's society? Oh, it's even better. Oh, what if it is the world? It's even best. There is nothing and no one to remind us that we're wrong. Naturally, the human being wants to do that. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran, وَيُرِيدُ الَّذِينَ يَتَّبِعُونَ الشَّهَوَاتِ أَن تَمِيلُوا مَيْلًا عَظِيمًا. Says Allah Azza wa Jalla. وَيُرِيدُ الَّذِينَ يَتَّبِعُونَ الشَّهَوَاتِ أَن تَمِيلُوا مَيْلًا عَظِيمًا. Which means, and those who follow the shahawat, their own selfish appetites, they will and they want and they desire that you incline greatly, that you incline greatly as they are inclined themselves. Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَاللَّهُ يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ. As Allah subhanahu, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ أَن يُخَفِّفَ عَنْكُمْ وَخُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيَتُوبَ عَلَيْكُمْ, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills that He accepts your repentance. He wills subhanahu wa ta'ala for you ease and facility and not hardship and extremism and so on. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم وصل اللهم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله. We take our break here inshallah and we resume in about 7 minutes.